I want to think for a little bit about growing up. There's an old African proverb about growing up, which you may have heard, and it goes like this. It says, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. In other words, it takes an entire community of different people, different relationships, everyone playing their part for a child to grow up as they should. And of course, we see something of that at a baptism service like this morning. Parents and godparents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends and community all together on a special day like this one. And we see lots of that, too, in the church family, more generally. In fact, one of the wonderful things about church is the opportunity to be part of a community of different people, different ages. We saw that last week, if you were here for our harvest service. We saw that in good evidence, our harvest celebration, the junior choir were at the front helping to lead the singing and the dancing. The pathfinders were leading the prayers. Our teenagers, incredibly, had cooked and then served the lunch. And if you were there over the lunch, there were different groups, different ages, sharing a meal together. In fact, even in this service, not now because he's gone out with the pathfinders, but the beginning of this service, the person operating the projection, which has had the screen, the song words behind me, was Eli Green, who is 12. And he's there with his buttons. In fact, just before the service, I made a terrible error. I pressed the button I shouldn't have. Everything went wrong. The projection was up there rather than on the screen. And I had to say to Eli, age 12, Eli, I need you to sort this out for me. And he did. Wonderfully, I couldn't do it, but he did it. Church family is a wonderful place for these different relationships, for children to grow up in. It's one of the strengths of church. In fact, Poppy, who we baptized just earlier when I went to visit her and her family, and I said, why did she want to be baptized? She'd been so keen to be. And the answer was, I want to be part of God's family. So welcome, Poppy. But this morning we're thinking not just about children growing up, but about how a church grows up. And in the Bible passage we read, the thrust of the passage was about how a church grows. If you're looking at it, if you've got open it in front of you, verse 14, St. Paul says, then we will no longer be infants. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up. Verse 16, the body grows and it builds itself up as each part does its work. How do we grow up as a church family? We grow together. If it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a church, a whole church, to grow a church. How is St. Nick's going to grow up to become more and more the church that God wants us to be, to continue to grow? And not just by having the right people at the front, the right clergy, the right leaders, but by the whole church working together, each part, every person doing its work. And I want to say two simple things about this togetherness, this growing up together. And the first is this, we are to be united. St. Paul says, verse 3, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In the village, just near where I grew up, the village of East Leech in Oxfordshire, there are two churches. So it's a very small village, a little valley in the middle, and two churches either side of the valley. And it's a small village. There's no need for two churches. But apparently the reason there are two is that many years ago there were two wealthy sisters and they fell out and they refused to speak to one another to such an extent that one of them built a separate church on the other side of the valley so that she never had to go to church again with her sister. And that may be an extreme example, a very sad example. Obviously you need a reasonable amount of disposable income for that to be a realistic option. Should you fall out that badly with someone in your church? But it's an extreme example of a general human tendency. We fall out with one another. And it is a tendency, of course, that we find within churches as much as without of it. Why do you think that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, had to urge them, make every effort to keep the unity? Why did he have to urge them? Because it's difficult. It will always be difficult. And we should grieve whenever we find unity broken in the church. I do grieve for the times and places where we found that difficult at St. Nick's Church, just like in other churches. A couple of weeks ago in the service here, we looked at Ephesians chapter 2. And I summarized the gospel, the good news according to Ephesians. And it was this, very simply, Jesus died to bring us to God. And Jesus died to bring us together. Jesus died to bring us to God. Jesus died to bring us together. And Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity, not to make the unity, to keep the unity that Jesus has given us through his death on the cross. And how are we to do this? Well, it's interesting. If you look at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul doesn't begin with the structures or the processes of a church that keep it united. He doesn't even begin with the doctrines around which we should unite. He just simply starts with the character of a church that keeps unity. Verse 2, he says, be completely humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. We're talking about growing up. As a church grows up, it needs to grow together. And as it grows together, it needs to be united. That's the first thing. We need to be united. Secondly, we need to be diverse. How does a church grow? Not just when we're united, but when within that unity, each one of us is playing our unique part. We need each one of us. In our passage, verse 7, if you're looking at it, Paul says, to each one of us, grace has been given. In other words, each of us have received different gifts from God. Verse 16, he says, we grow up as each part does its work. Someone once wrote a letter to their vicar. They said, dear vicar, there are 566 people in our church. 100 are infirm or elderly. That leaves 466 to do all the work. But 80 are young people at school or at college. That leaves 386 to do all the work. But 150 of those are tired business people. That leaves 236 to do all the work. 150 of them are busy with children. That leaves 86 to do all the work. But 15 live too far away to come here regularly, which leaves 71 to do all the work. And 69, so they've already done their bit for the church. And that leaves you and me, and I'm exhausted. So good luck to you. Now, fortunately, I don't feel like that at St. Nick's. But the church is not meant to operate on the model of a bus, with the vicar in the driver's seat, perhaps the curate taking the tickets and everyone else sitting along for the ride, maybe complaining occasionally about the route or the standard of the driving or the comfortable seats or uncomfortable seats. No, the church is not a model of a bus. It's meant to be like an orchestra, with everyone playing their part. The leader keeping them in time, but everyone's contribution vital. And of course, the reason that SNCC has grown is because to a significant extent, this is what we find. The reason that we are able to function and exercise such a wide variety of ministries here in this church is because of the wide variety of gifts that people serve with. Many people playing their part. Thank you. The message of Ephesians 4 is your church needs you. All of you. Every one of you. If St. Nick's is to grow up, to become more and more like the church that God wants it to be, it will take all of us. Whether you're stood at the front, or sat in the middle, or crammed in the creche at the back trying to keep your toddler quiet, if you're a member of St. Nick's, all of us need to ask and to keep asking, what's my gift? What's the part that God is asking me to play for this next season? What bit can I do? So please ask that question. If you haven't asked it for a while, then ask it again. Circumstances and seasons change in our lives. God may be calling you to a new role, a new area, to exercise a new gift. If it's never occurred to you to ask that question, then please hear it from me. Your church needs you. If you're new here, please don't feel you've got to wait for a year before you ask it. There's no probationary period. We can find some way for you to exercise a gift very quickly. Just come and talk to me. When everyone is asking this question, it's a beautiful picture of the church. Verse 16. From Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Just as we finish, I want to focus particularly on Sundays. Now, of course, as we talk about church, church is much more than just Sunday services. But what we do on a Sunday is a powerful and a visible expression of who we are as church. A couple of weeks ago, if you were here, I quoted from a book by Tony Payne called How to Walk into Church. Very small little book. If you were here, it was the quote about the metaphorical T-shirt. It says, God is important to me, and so are you, that we wear every time we walk into church. Many people commented to me on that. Tony Payne has a suggestion for how to potentially radically change your attitude to church when you come on a Sunday. How to think about what you're doing and the part you play when you walk through the doors on a Sunday morning. And it's very simple, and it's this. Before you come to church, pray about who you're going to sit next to. Before you come to church, pray about who you're going to sit next to. I think that's such a helpful thing to do. I challenge you to try it for the next few months. Of course, some of us don't have a choice. Where we're sat is kind of fixed. You're in the band or in the PA desk or whatever. Of course, there are people that we always sit next to each time. If you want to change it, pray about who you're going to talk to over coffee. But I find that helpful. Before you come to church, pray about who you're going to sit next to. Because it reminds us that we're not coming to watch the show or just to receive the ministry, but to play our part in the orchestra Regardless of whether you have a formal role or a rotated responsibility, you have a part to play in the family you belong to. And that part may be as simple as talking to the person you're sat next to, welcoming them if they're new, praying with them if they're in need, introducing them to someone you think they might like to meet, inviting them to lunch. Try it. Before you come to church, pray about who you're going to sit next to. Verse 16. From Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the church family. We thank you for this church family here at St. Nick's. And we pray that we would indeed continue to grow in unity, in diversity, every part doing its work. We pray this not for our glory, but for yours, that you would be revealed in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.